You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
So is Draymond Green just going to like ruin the rest of Steph Curry's prime? Is that where we're at?
He already did it.
He already did it.
The damage is done. It's over.
The name was the death blow of the dynasty?
It's been the death blow.
today it all fell down.
Yeah.
What's up, y'all? As you see by the title, today we're going to be rebuilding some of the worst teams in the NBA. And originally when we decided to do this a couple days ago, we were thinking like, let's talk about what the Bulls got to do, the Raptors, maybe the Hawks if we're going to pile on to Mo, all that. But then Draymond Green decided to mollywop Yusuf Nurkic and today get himself suspended indefinitely, which, yes, as we just said, seems like the death blow to the Warriors dynasty. We all thought this would be the last dance, and now it's even crazier than we ever expected. So we're going to rebuild them as well.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
We are literally 24, not even 24 hours fresh off of Draymond Green trying to knock Yusuf Nurkic's top off, and this news just happened quite literally two, three hours before we press record. You know what I'm saying? So this affects a lot. And what better timing it is to just figure out how we're going to rebuild what Draymond seemingly destroyed. Yeah. I love being dramatic.
Yeah, he's definitely not helping, but there's a lot bigger problems that the Warriors that we talk about ad nauseum over the past few weeks that let's lay it all on the table. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors in depth.
The cranium is crazy. Oh my god.
I mean, I really don't know what to say.
Crayon eaters rejoice.
Man, that brother needs help.
That was the best thing to come out of this.
Yeah.
Yusuf Nurkic was just like, man, I don't know. I get it. He needs therapy. Just straight up.
It wasn't even like therapy, though. It was just like help. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, it wasn't even like, hey, we're going to get you a doctor, right? We're going to get you somebody that you could talk to. It's just, hey, you got problems at home. Figure it out. Like, I don't know. That's crazy.
I'm sure he doesn't want to be on the opposing end of that again. The funniest part was in that same post conference that he said that.
Yeah.
He also was like, thank God he didn't choke me. And it's just so funny. After that, he said all that. When Rudy Gobert did get choked, he was over there talking about, you just didn't want to play without your guy Steph. You're running. It seems like collectively the NBA is just far less respectful of Draymond Green than they were in the past. It's like all his chirping finally caught up to him and everyone's just like sick of it because they're not winning like they used to. He's no longer this like big dog that can say whatever he wants because he's, you know, like one of the most important parts of a dynasty. Now he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, he's a
all
clown.
Of this. Yeah, he's, exactly. Yeah, all this in the last 12 months, we witnessed him punch the shit out of his teammates in the playoffs, stomp on someone's chest. Literally 3-4 weeks ago, put Rudy Gobert in a chokehold, and now he's after another center swinging on somebody. And like at a certain point in time, and it seems like we've gone to this time to where we have to have a serious conversation that we're having about Draymond, who he has started to become as a player.
Yep.
Like there's ongoing memes about him being just overly aggressive at random times and his body just losing absolute control. But now it's up to the point to where you're literally sabotaging the future of your team.
Yeah. The part that bothers me is like, he's a smart guy, clearly, right? Like, overall, he's clearly an intelligent dude. It shows in his play. It shows in everything else about him. He's not an idiot, but he treats us like we're idiots regarding all this. like he said at the end, I was trying to sell the foul, blah, blah, blah. You watch it, he gets touched in the back, his jersey pulled ever so slightly. The most regular NBA defense you can imagine. And he spins around like a Beyblade and backhands Nurkic. Like, the way he tries to sell it and play it off like it's some natural movement is just like insulting to the intelligence of everybody. Because it's like, everybody besides him understands that he looks like an idiot trying to pretend he's not just hitting somebody.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think that he thinks that he's lying to us. Like, I don't think that he thinks that he is, like, telling some story, right? Because if you look at all the incidents, right, the Steven Adams one, all these, like, flailing ones where he ends up hitting somebody, he kind of has the same explanation every time. So I think in his mind, he's like, oh, I'm just doing this, right? But we're all looking at it. So, like, I understand what he's saying, and I don't think that he's lying. But at the same time, I don't believe him because he clearly is lying because, like, you're just too reckless to be doing this over an 8-year span. Literally, yeah. Since 2015, 2016, you have hit somebody out of pure recklessness every single year because you can't control your body as an NBA player.
He's lying. He knows what he's doing. I'm not even going to try and be diplomatic like you are. He knows exactly what he's doing. We've all played with people that are overly aggressive and they're like, oh, my bad. Especially playing like, you know, football, the thing, playing football, basketball, football players. There's always that one person that like throws a shoulder and they're just like, my bad. Blah, blah, blah. That's Draymond Green. He knows exactly what he's doing and just plays it off every time. This man just, it seems like these days it's frustration. Right? This bitch is hilarious. WWE
belt. It's true as fuck. I need him on WWE Monday Night Raw as soon as possible.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like part of it is like, you know, it's always been a thing, right? I mentioned that he's always been this guy, but before he was co-leading a dynasty, so like he could get away with it to some degree. Whenever you're the top of your game, like you have more leeway for bullshit. Do you feel like part of the increased acts of violence the past 16 months is because the Warriors are just like not winning and because he's just not who he used to be?
What every NBA player says is winning solves everything. Everybody's happy-go-lucky and you don't have a care in the world about anything else when you're winning. And the second that you have a couple L's on your schedule, you know, like that's when reality starts to set in and everybody's like pointing at everybody else for their whatever internal issues. And so like at this point in time, the vibes are just seem atrocious over there for the Warriors. And for someone, it's especially like, it's an amplified, painful feeling. It's loud as hell when it's like supposed to be the voice and the leader of your team,
exactly.
Draymond Green.
Exactly.
And that hits so hard in the soul, bro.
And it's 1,000% his fault too. The vibes are wrecked from the start because of him. That's the crazy part. It's not even just like he's a part of the issue or he's not helping the issue. He is the issue entirely. Like their vibes were amazing in 2022 when they won the title. Wiggins was popping. Jordan Poole was a third splash bro. Steph and Draymond and Klay were winning just like they always have been. And then he punched Jordan Poole and for lack of a better word, there was a vibe shift. Like it all goes back to him and it's been downhill since.
Man, Jordan Poole shouldn't have been talking though. Like Jordan Poole wasn't acting like some, you know, like some diva who had just made it, maybe the dynasty would have still been together. Now I'm not excusing Draymond for punching the teammate. You can't do that, right? But let's not act like Jordan Poole wasn't out here chirping.
But also at the same time,
was saying that he was.
With whatever Jordan Poole said, allegedly he said you're an expensive backpack for 30.
Bar.
Wasn't necessarily wrong. You know what I'm saying? Should he have said it? I'm not agreeing with him. But was he wrong? Probably not.
Man, you know, Draymond said some horrendous shit back. They're always talking shit, I'm sure. Just because he struck a nerve one time doesn't mean Draymond can knock him the fuck out and ruin the team.
Exactly. And but, with all this being said, Draymond Green just loses a lot of like credibility and validity as a leader in voice in that locker room because you're out here doing the most reckless shit, literally doing the most detrimental shit to the team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like a lot of his leadership cachet comes from the fact that he's Curry's guy, clearly. Curry wants him and Klay around him. That's a nucleus. Curry trusts them and they're his guys. I'm sure Curry defers to him a little bit as a leader because, you know, he's this loud personality, not necessarily who Curry is, and he understands the value of that. If he keeps doing this at a certain point, how much is Curry going to sit here and deal with? We've known for years that someone like LeBron has like demanded his team put them in the best situation to succeed. Curry's never needed to move like that because they've had everything. Is that going to maintain? Is he just going to sit here and deal with this guy doing this stuff? He's suspended for probably another 10 games at least. Like, when does that goodwill end?
It ends now. It ends now. I think that, like, and even like LeBron in his tenure, he's never had a teammate be this reckless in how they move. Like, he's had people who suck, and like, that's easily fixable, right? You go upstairs, just say, hey, listen, have the locker cleaned out by 8 a.m. We're going to ship you this way. Like, we can do that. Steph, on the other hand, like, you are actively, we're already down several players, right? Klay is washed up. Wiggins is playing like bust Andrew Wiggins again. Draymond, I need you to at least play 35 minutes a night. And you are out here knocking people out every 2 weeks. Like, we can't do this. And the meme that's been that was going around for LeBron for the last 2 years when he started getting old, where it's like, I'm 36. That's Steph Curry now. Steph Curry's 35 years old, and he's looking around like, this is my last opportunity to actually win titles. And you are out here messing it up. I'm 36. Stop playing with me and my legacy and my title chances. Like, it ends now.
That's what annoys me the most. Like, we're seeing an anomaly like we saw with LeBron James still being elite at this age. LeBron won a finals MVP at 35 with the Lakers. Curry's still good enough to do that. Like, it's so rare that we're going to see a player be this good this late in their career. And just seeing it be wasted by not only Draymond, the entire team. You mentioned Andrew Wiggins is back to being bust Wiggins. You're putting it politely. That motherfucker is bad at everything he was good at now. Everything that made him valuable in 2022 is just the opposite. He's bad at all of it. Like, I guess we can transition enough from Draymond slander to like talk about this team at large and like how Draymond's issues relate to everything else. But they have serious issues. And listen, they're 2.5 games outside the 10 seed as the current 11 seed. I don't know if they have the juice to come back and get into this play-in race.
Man, it's not looking good for them at all. And at the start of the season, we were all trying to figure out, we all knew how good the Western Conference was this year. There was no room for any BS. Every team needed to be on their toes, you know what I'm saying? And my team was the Mavs. I forget which teams you guys had picking out. Maybe you had the Warriors, Isaac. Not 110% sure. But regardless of the fact, the Warriors are that team. They're clearly several steps behind. And you have to start looking at every option possible. Everything has to be on the table when it comes to figuring out what needs to be done. And a couple weeks ago, I was like, yo, like, Steph Curry's still playing. He's playing as if he can be a top three player in the NBA, or at least very least top five player in the NBA for the next 2 to 3 years. And we're talking about a top, in my opinion, 10 player ever here. You have to do whatever it takes to put the best team around him to get you guys another championship, because you're never going to see another player like him ever again. It doesn't matter.
So what does it take? Are we at the point now where we know they're not trading Klay, they're probably not trading Draymond because Curry wants them there? Are we at the point where that is what it takes? Like, do you feel like he has to look in the mirror and like say we got to change something up? Like, how? It has to be a trade, right?
Yes, it has to be a trade. And like Draymond's locked in. And I think that the first two things that you have to do is get Draymond out of there and get Klay out of there. Obviously, Klay's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere during the season, right? So this is like an off-season thing. You'll offer him whatever's possible, but he can't get what he wants because you kind of need him out of there.
So like that's kind of weird. According to Woj earlier today, he tweeted that the Golden State Warriors offered him like a 2-year, $48 million contract, and dude didn't accept that. And so obviously he's looking for more money, and I genuinely don't think he deserves that. And if I'm the Warriors, I would throw heavy hesitancy to do that. And so with that being said, again, I know as much as people hate to even think of this happening, if Klay Thompson wears another jersey, something must be going on with the universe. The world exploded. It's fake. Matrix is broken. You know what I'm saying? But it needs to happen. It needs to happen. And I'm looking at him before I look at someone like Draymond, because I, regardless of the other on-court stuff that he's been doing, the random physical activities, he's been absolutely physical hooping activities this year. He's been hooping this
year.
But
that's the annoying part. That's the annoying part. He's still so good and like still is close to what he was in 2022, if not exactly the same. And it's so frustrating because I spent a lot of time arguing on behalf of Draymond Green over the years. I'm sure Donovan can attest to it. Over the years in college, over the years online, in all content creation forms, I've been a pro Draymond for years.
He has.
I've always argued he's better than Klay always has been, like one of the best defenders of his generation, maybe even of all time. Like, and he's made me not like him via acts of physical violence. Like the act is just getting old.
Yeah, it's old. I think that like it's tough, but you come to a point in every dynasty where like people go their separate ways, and whether that comes by like trade or even by like retirement. It even happened with the Spurs, like Tony Parker ends his career in Charlotte, right? There comes a time where it sucks, but like that's pro sports. And so you're not always going to get to retire at the top with your guys with that same core, because if that's the case, then you guys will be winning championships all the time. Like, but I think with Draymond, the leadership aspect that we talked about earlier was 100% correct. Like his credibility as a leader has obviously been diminished. But if he is not able to play a month of basketball straight without one of these things happening, then that is a legitimate problem. And if you have Klay Thompson, who at this point is, I'm going to say it, at this point, non-shooter, Andrew Wiggins, non-shooter.
Oh, no, he's shooting better lately, to be fair. Like over the last like 10 games, he's close to 40%.
Listen, I saw this man last night throwing up threes, hitting the side of the backboard. Nothing. No rim. No rim. He's a non-shooter.
No rim.
Andrew Wiggins, non-shooter. Kevon Looney, non-shooter. Draymond Green, non-shooter. You have four of your five players in your starting lineup of the Golden State Warriors looking like the Detroit Pistons with the amount of spacing and actual shooting threat that you have. A change has to be made. He has too much money on the books. He's too costly right now. Everybody looked the other way when he lost them in the finals because they went and got Kevin Durant. You almost lost the finals again because you were out here chirping on the podcast every 2 days, all that type of stuff. Your time has come, right? You're doing too much. You're doing too much.
You only have so much goodwill you can burn from all parties involved, including your teammates and coaching staff. Like, I can't imagine there's good vibes with that whole team in there. You know, their GM left last year. First year GM has to make some tough decisions. It's got to be a nightmare in that building. I guess we can transition this a little bit. We talked at length about like they're fucked, right? Yeah. I guess we can go towards what the title indicates and talk about how they rebuild this, what they should do. Let's put together some moves and try to put together a version of the Warriors. Let's call it at the deadline if they were to make these moves that could potentially contend around Steph. Personally, I feel like that starts with benching Klay and starting Moses Moody. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's fine. Yeah, I like that.
Like, I feel like we're well past that. These young guys have to start, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Moody's been Klay needs to be addressed first. When it comes to pecking order, like, I'm sorry. Regardless of what you think of Draymond, I think he needs to remain starting up. There's no situation scenario where, you know what I'm saying, he's being dealt. Four-year contract, still good. 40% from three this year, whatever. He's solid. Klay needs to be addressed, and Wiggins needs to be addressed. And when it comes to rebuilding, yeah, I agree with that, Isaac. That's like the most keep the peace away thing, or keep the peace type thing to do. I think Klay Thompson, I think Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson. Yeah, I think in a post game conference, he said something about possibly bringing someone off the bench and ruffling up that starting lineup or whatever. And Klay's probably the guy to do that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Another thing they can do, in my opinion, hey, put that man up for sale if he doesn't want to agree to that.
Yeah, but what are they going to get for a $43 million expiring contract that for a guy who isn't good enough to be on the team that fits him most? You know, like, who's jumping for joy to acquire expiring Klay Thompson and give up anything of value that'll make the Warriors better this year?
A team that's in a similar-ish situation and predicament, expiring contract for expiring contract makes sense in my mind. And the specific team that I'm looking at, it's a team like the Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
What are they going to do with Klay? Like,
Klay would be fantastic alongside Scottie Barnes. It's not like you want him pairing him. It's not like you want this long-term duo to be like carry your future or whatever. It's just like he's helping Scottie Barnes get his reps in and learn how to develop extra as a playmaker with all that space. And that's the value I see with the Raptors, but no one cares about the Raptors right now. We'll talk about them later. More so for the Warriors.
I think if the Raptors traded Pascal Siakam for the corpse of Klay Thompson, there would be massive violence in Toronto across the city.
Well, hold on. Not also for the corpse of Klay Thompson. They'd have to tack on something else. The Warriors have every single pick that they have is theirs. You know what I'm saying? They don't own anybody, anything. And I think they could make this work. Now there's an encore.
They owe 2024. That's the only one.
Oh, really? Two.
I think to Portland, I think. Is that what it says? Yeah.
Oh, was
yeah, to Portland. Oh, it's protected. Is lottery protected? Is it lottery protected? Yeah, can we zoom in a little bit? Yeah, it is protected top four, so they're not gonna get a top four pick. So okay. Portland, you're getting that first round pick this year. Congratulations. But yeah, okay, let's start from the top. I think it involves benching Clay at least. We can talk about if there's a trade out there for him. The most obvious trade that actually makes sense, I think, undoubtedly, is trading Chris Paul's contract along with draft capital, maybe Jonathan Kuminga if there's a really enticing piece. Who would y'all want to see that package be dealt for?
I mean, that you if you are doing that, you're going to have to get either like the perfect role player, which at this point, I guess everybody's dream role player is OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
And so it would either be that or you would have to go star hunting. At the beginning of the year, I would have thought that Cat would have been one of the people that we could kind of target. But now that the Timberwolves are rolling, they're probably off that a little bit.
Yeah, he's not available.
Yeah. So I guess it's OG. It's Pascal. I was trying to think of other like big name forwards that could kind of like fit with them. Like how much do you believe in Kyle Kuzma coming in? It's just.
I would like that. I would like that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Those are the kinds of names. I just don't think that there's a big move for them at the deadline that legitimately skyrockets their chances to win a title right now.
Well, yeah, skyrockets isn't happening, but there has to be a move made. They're not going to sit on their hands. And do we all agree Chris Paul is probably the one that's easiest to trade?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He's the easiest, but also the hardest at the same time because he has a fat-ass contract and
it's expiring.
Yeah, you're right. It's expiring, but just making it work on the books to get that transaction through, you're gonna have to do some mad calculations.
Do you like Siakam there? Let's ask that question first. Let's go realistic target by realistic target. Do you even like the fit of Siakam with Draymond Green? Because Draymond has 4 years left, he's not going nowhere.
I do like it. I think if I've seen what it looks like with Draymond and Kevon Looney. And the fact that you can have somebody else out there who can create their own offense and who can still like who can space the floor at least more than Kevon can, that's kind of encouraging. So I would like it, and it would be a massive upgrade in talent. So that would right now that's the number one move in my mind for them to make.
Okay,
is to go get
Pascal. Mo, do you agree? Do we want to start there with that being the first trade?
Personally, yeah. I'm not sure if I love the move, but the Warriors have to do something. Pascal Siakam's not a center, so it'll be kind of interesting to see how you try to force him or Draymond to be that full time. You know,
Draymond would be better, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I like it a lot better than what they already have. Anything.
All right. Nikhil, let's pull up the trade machine. Let's figure out how to make this work. This is going to be the first step of our Warriors rebuild. We're getting Pascal Siakam on the Warriors. Let's figure out a way that makes sense for both sides. Obviously, it involves Chris Paul being the salary filler. Pascal Siakam's expiring. There's going to be bidders at the deadline. Is two first-round picks enough?
Yeah.
It depends
that's
on...
Fine. That's fine.
Masai Ujiri took his meds that day.
If you were the Raptors, would you take Chris Paul and two first-round picks for Pascal Siakam?
I think that's an enticing trade because it depends on how deep those first-round picks are, first and foremost. But regardless of the fact, yes, because the Warriors are very clearly on the last stages of their era. And
they can't trade 2024, so it'll be 2026 and 2028 as the two picks traded.
You should do this in a heartbeat. Because at that time, Curry would be, what, 38, 39? Pushing 40?
Yeah. Nikhil, you put a second round pick for 2026, and you remove those two and put the first round pick for 2026 and the first round pick for 2028? Yeah, let's take that first one off too.
Bet. Yeah,
that gets us to $30 million from the Warriors and $37 million from the Raptors. Is it the second apron thing isn't already a thing, right? So can this be pushed through? Let's try it
with this year. I think it can.
It cannot, because the Warriors cannot complete this trade. They are an apron team. Okay, so we need to get some more money. Are you willing to send away Jonathan Kuminga as well?
Yeah,
see,
I do that in a heartbeat. There's no way you can have someone like Draymond, Pascal, and Kuminga on the same team. Three big forwards who are you know what I'm saying, for the most part, non-shooters, even though Pascal can shoot genuinely, he's just not having a great year. I would be more than happy than throwing for throwing coming into this.
We don't have to, though. We could also do the salary of Gary Payton. Like, do you think it takes two first-round picks and Kuminga for Siakam?
Probably. Just because there's still a little bit of untapped potential with Kuminga. I think that you know kind of exactly what you're getting with Gary Payton. And if you're starting over, if you're the Raptors and you make this deal, you're clearly saying, I'm starting over. And so you would get the money off the books. You would have the two first-round picks in 4 years, or I guess in 2 years, and then in 4 years. Let me get something that I can work with right now and see if I can turn into something. So I think Kuminga has to be a part of this deal.
Okay. Well, so if Kuminga has to be a part, do we try to take away one of the first round picks or add protections? Like,
Masai, though, and he is going to ask, he is going to ask for a lot. If the word on the street was that he was asking for four first round picks for OG, he's going to ask for two for Pascal, whether they like him or not. That's just going to be the price.
I think that's great value either way.
All right. Nikhil, try the trade. It looks like this is going to be the first part of a rebuild. Two first-round picks. Then, granted, these are the only first-round picks they have to trade. So, are you guys really comfortable with Siakam being your all-in draft capital move?
Yeah. I'm comfortable. This is the best deal that you are going to get. What other star out there is available?
I don't know. Maybe he's not a star, though. Maybe you're just going for role players that fit. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a star.
You have to get a second. If Draymond is going to be this volatile and you don't know on a night-to-night basis in a playoff series, like, is he going to be able to play 6 to 7 games every single series? I need to have somebody else on my team who I can count on. And if Clay's not going to be the guy, then Siakam has to be it. And you need, like, actual all-star, star talent.
What makes like these entire trade discussions a little bit more complicated in my head is that a lot of teams don't appear to be selling, and every team in the NBA outside of maybe like 4 or 5 are like seriously trying to compete or contend for something. And the teams that will be selling soon, they haven't shown their cards just yet. And so as we speak right now, yes, I think this is the best move possible. And with that being said, you walk away with this happy. Although Pascal Siakam is a free agent, obviously you don't want to do this without having side conversations, DMs, or meet him at whatever speakeasy. It doesn't matter. You have to secure your future. You can't just get him, let him walk away for no reason or for nothing. So I'd be happy with that.
All right. Yeah. Question for y'all. Would you make a run at Lowry Markkanen if you're the Warriors?
See,
we can't now. We got
not now, but just like in the grand scheme of things, if it was on the table of like, should we go after Pascal? Should we make an offer to Utah for Lowry? How do you guys think that would fit? Because that's been a name where I'm like, Utah low key can be sellers at the deadline, get some more picks. Like Keontae George looks really good. Walker Kessler is good. Like,
they're not gonna trade Lowry. Lowry is their guy. He's their cornerstone franchise player. I think people want him to be traded. That's why it's a discussion. I don't really see why they would.
You think he's personally a franchise player?
Yeah, I think that's a stretch.
Like, untouchable franchise player.
I mean, I'm not saying he's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but you're in their situation and you found an all-star. He's legitimately a great player. Why would you not use that as a foundation? You know, like, because they're trying to win. Suck. They're like,
this is what gets
on. He's young. He's young and he's great. Like,
he was drafted in 2016 or 2015.
He's been in the league for like 8 years.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old. He's the beginning of his prime. That's a young star. Know what this is? This is like 2 years ago when everybody wanted them to trade Shai because they're so young and rebuilding, and people were like, he doesn't fit your timeline of a Josh Giddey or whoever, but they have an all-star in the building. That's the player you make these trades to try and find. I don't know why they would get rid of him as soon as they found him and like nurtured that star.
Once again, for me personally, I love Lowry Markkanen. The only reason why I'd consider giving him away is because of the assets I know that I could get for him. And although, Lowry could be a cornerstone piece and he's a legit all-star caliber player. We literally saw him become an all-star last year. Me personally, if the right team gave me an offer, threw me, say, 3 first-round picks, I am definitely listening. Exactly. I am definitely listening.
Exactly. Everybody wants to talk about Sam Presti and the Thunder getting all these assets. Who do you think did it first? Who do you think was about this life, about accumulating all these draft picks? Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge would do anything for a first round draft pick. Okay. And if the Warriors came calling, I think they would listen.
Yeah, but with that being said, I don't think the Warriors have deep enough pockets or even should consider trying to trade for Lauri Markkanen. That's why it wasn't the first thing off of my head. Naturally, I think, yeah, like Lauri's probably, he's definitely obviously a better fit. He's one of the best big man shooters in the NBA right now, but that will cost him a pretty penny, and that's not worth the investment at all.
Okay, so let's go through the Siakam trade. Now we're looking at a lineup of Curry at point guard, Siakam at power forward, and Draymond at center. And that leaves us still with Klay at shooting guard and Wiggins at small forward. Which, do you want to bench Klay? Is that the move, or do you guys want to try and find a trade for him?
Nah, let's bench him for right now. If we're doing stuff in season, trading Klay would ruin any hope of good vibes that you already had.
Yeah, but at the same time, while you say that, your vibes will be even worse once next year starts and you're paying him $30-35 million a year that he's going to demand.
Call Andre Iguodala. Get another adult in the room and be like, listen, I went to the bench, right? My career worked out pretty well. Klay, listen, we guys, like, you got to do it for the squad. Get Iguodala back in the building. That's honestly what they need. they don't have an OG.
How do you guys feel about Wiggins? So obviously now we have Wiggins left here. That's currently going to be the small forward. There's no more first round picks left, only pick swaps. Do we want to try and trade him for another piece that isn't playing like dog water, or stick with him and ride it out and hope he can get back to 2022 for him?
Trade his ass away.
Oh, word. Okay.
Immediately. Don't give him a chance.
We're not on the same page. We're
not at all.
We got to lock in. Why?
Okay, so why are we trading Wiggins?
Bro. Okay, first and foremost, trade Wiggins for better spacing. That's what I'm thinking about, of having Siakam and Draymond and Wiggins. Two of them could easily have an off night. They're not naturally shooters. Their offensive game, specifically Siakam and Wiggins, they apply a lot of pressure on the rim for the most part. Wiggins has a bag, and you can do other things for also. But I want to get another natural shooter who gives Steph and Siakam more than enough room to breathe.
Oh, well, who's available that fits that mold then?
It's not about who's available. Who's a better? I'd start Klay, and I would look for a solid role player coming off the bench.
All right, like who are we looking at with the Wiggins trade? Because Wiggins, in theory, good defensive wing. That's incredibly valuable and hard to come by. So who are we seeing out there that's going to be a better fit that makes sense to get rid of that asset?
I don't know. That's why I just think like the upside of Wiggins is so high. That I think if you trade him, I don't think you're going to be able to get equal value or like be able to still keep a core that is very, very competitive right now. I think you're going to have to give up too much, especially considering that we just got off of two first round picks and traded Chris Paul. Like, all of your moves were to get Siakam. At this point, it is what it is. You just have to ride out with whatever you got. I don't think you can trade Wiggins.
Yeah, it's also just tough because you don't have any picks left. So
exactly,
you went all in. Unless you're gonna get rid of Moody too and keep Klay in the starting lineup, then the team gets real thin.
Nah, yeah, we can't get rid of Moody. That's impossible.
All right, so Andrew Wiggins, congratulations. You can stay in San Francisco. You don't have to go anywhere.
His key card is valid for another season.
Yeah, it still works.
So now we're looking at a team that has Curry, Moody, Wiggins, Siakam, and Draymond. The bench has Klay, Saric, GP2, Pods. And who else am I thinking of that would be on the bench? Oh, Corey Sarge. Joseph. I said Saric.
Oh, cool.
Corey Joseph. And I guess that's the main rotation.
Yeah.
Oh, and Looney. That's what I was thinking of.
So, question Looney, for you guys. Joseph. What is the goal of this rebuild? Do you want
have to win the championship?
To win a championship or give him the best chance to win a championship.
Yes.
So those
yes.
two different things in my opinion.
How? What do you mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
If you want to give him the best chance to win a championship, then you're satisfied with this lineup. If you want to win a championship genuinely, then you literally sell everything. You do something like what the Los Angeles Clippers did and just empty the clip. You don't give a fuck about any picks for the future. And
we just did.
Don't we have like two leftover picks?
No, we have no more picks left to trade.
I mean, okay, I think I guess in your scenario, we get off of the pick swaps as well, and you make another move with those. But like, if you don't have, like, who are you gonna go and get? That's the big question. Is that if we don't have a name in mind about who we're gonna trade Wiggins and trade these pick swaps for, and see who can fix that hole, then you might as well just stay where you are and keep your flexibility for the next 2 years and even for the offseason, then maybe something else happens there. I think this lineup here is good enough to where they can win a playoff round with this. You can compete for the conference finals. And then at that point, you just have to hope that Curry goes God mode and carries you to a finals.
Okay.
And yeah, there's no more first-round picks to trade, so yeah. Very limited flexibility left. It would have to be like a player-based trade, which you don't really see very much these days. Most trades involve picks of some type.
Yeah, exactly. That's very
so
true.
So who are we going to go? Who are we getting?
I guess I feel comfortable with this roster, way more comfortable than what they are right now, and we did a good job.
Steph Curry, you once again have a chance. You saved your career.
Sounds like Mike Dunleavy needs to bring us on the team.
Yeah, going all in with Siakam is just like, that's your move if they have to give up that much for him, because you got no more interesting players. You can't trade Moody if you're gonna be benching Clay. No more tradable first round picks. Like, this is the squad, and you gotta hope you can re-sign Siakam.
Good damn, they are in hell. This
yeah, this isn't even that great.
You're in hell. This is your championship team. Do you That was going to be my question too. Do you think this team will win a championship or has capabilities?
Fuck
to
no.
Do
so?
No, they are not winning a championship with this. No.
Fuck no.
The only was there way anything they, else that could have been? The only way that they win a championship is if we are controlling them while playing 2K. That's the only way. But if this is real life basketball, a championship is not happening.
Yeah.
Dang, so it's over.
No, they're cooked. We did the best we could. This is what's on the table. Take it or leave it. Curry, you got a better chance than you did yesterday.
Yeah. That's all you can do. And it's all about timing in the NBA. This is what
I wash my hands with it.
We tried, brother.
It's in God's hands. So that wraps up us rebuilding the Warriors. I think we can move on from rebuilds. That was fun. This is we've had so much talk about despair with the Warriors. I think we need to move on to another team that is in despair, of which relates especially to one of us and also brings joy to another one of us. Let's talk about the Atlanta Hawks.
Let's do it. Mo, stop looking around. Stop looking around trying to avoid the question. Look straight at me. Look straight at me. All right. I was gaslit for months coming into the season talking about, oh, the Hawks are going to be better than the Knicks. We might be top four. That's not happening. And not only am I going to take a victory lap in December, I'm going to tell you right here, to your face, I need my money. I need my $200.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. What money? What $200? Did you not read the contract that we initially signed? It was double or nothing. Double or nothing meaning I get $200 when we come back. You get nothing, sir.
That's literally not how that works. Either way.
Yes, it is.
No, yes, it's not. Is.
That is literally what double or nothing means.
We both put up $100. And so I quote unquote lost. And so I'm saying double or nothing. So whoever wins this next one gets the double.
Here's the thing. No. You just don't know what double or nothing means.
Yeah. That's what the problem is. You've been finessed your entire life is what that tells me. Someone robbed your ass when you were younger, bro.
That is not true.
You were $100 in the hole. So now you went double or nothing to try to get out of the hole, which means if you win, you get nothing.
Exactly.
If I get that, right? if I get my money, stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. No. I'm not gonna do this. I need my money, okay? And I'm coming for every dollar, okay? Coming for every dollar. And I was lied to for months coming into this pod. I'm not gonna be lied to right now. I need my money the next time I see everybody. That's not what that means. I'm not playing.
This man spent a year after college working as a writer at a sports betting company, and he doesn't know how betting works.
I am not. First of all,
you said double or nothing. Working. Oh my God. Okay.
I'm going to look this up.
Okay,
y'all go. Mo, tell us why your team sucks.
On a real note, we are ass. ASS, two cans of ass. BBL type ass. Humongous. The type of ass that we are right now, shit seems fake. How can we get worse? We only lost one player. We lose one player. Jalen Johnson goes down, and all of a sudden, he's the saving grace of our team. No. Although he's fucking great, him going down alone should not cause us to be this type of ass. So anyways, why are we ass?
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of reasons. Isaac, what's the reason do you think we're ass?
First of all, let's tell people the context of this. As we were about to start recording, Mo had to wait a second because he was watching the Hawks play against the Raptors, a team he has actively hated on since the inception of the show. He was like, I'm watching a Trae Young masterclass. And then 10 minutes after that, he was like, oh my God, if you lose, I'm going to go break some shit. And they lost to the Raptors. Yes. A team who has been so bad. They were the reason we thought about rebuilding teams for this episode, because they need to blow that shit up. And they beat the Hawks. And guess what else? They scored 130 on the Hawks. A bottom 10 offense in the league. So that should tell you your answer. The problem is they can't defend a fucking thing. Not a zip.
Yep. Everybody's ass.
Jalen Johnson's gone. They don't have that shot blocker. Clint Capella, 2019 Clint Capella is not walking through those doors. DeJounte Murray hasn't fixed the defense like people thought they would when they brought him in. Trae Young is still Trae Young. Though I did see some Hawks fans having propaganda on the timeline of the day saying his defense has gotten better. I haven't seen it, but maybe people that watch the Hawks every day have. I don't know what the answer is.
That's not any real point to bring up at all. The defense is still ass. The Raptors drop like 130 on your head. No OT needed. Just straight up regulation. 48 minutes? That's not real. So there's so many things going on with this team. And all I can do as a Hawks fan is just sit down and think about where all this went wrong. And it all went wrong when Travis Schlenk left our team. He made a few errors here and there or whatever. But since he left, we have been plagued by a terrible case of nepotism.
Nepotism?
Yeah.
You got Nepo babies running around?
Yeah, yeah, bro. Because our owner, his name is Tony Ressler, and he has his son in the fields making basketball decisions for us. His son
That's
has
good.
he has no real experience in any professional world, in the NBA specifically. So there's that. Trading for DeJounte Murray hasn't been the most beautiful outcome. I don't want to put the entire blame on him, but he is a part of why we're not that great. DeJounte is the second worst player in the NBA when it comes to finishing inside the paint. He is frail. His game is majorly like he does his dirty work in the mid-range. And as of late in this season, he's been a fantastic three-point shooter. You know, that's come along very well for him. But at the start of the season, he seemed great. He was, in my opinion, during the first five games, the best player on the Hawks. But now things have been looking bleak, and he was, as of recently, in a shooting slump. So his defense also hasn't been as potent and impactful as you'd like to see. And then on top of that, the most Atlanta Hawks player ever is DeAndre Hunter. He is the definition of just mid. He's not complete ass. He can look good sometimes, but for the most part, he's just not really that impactful. It can look like he's not even on the court sometimes. So it's a whole lot. Onyeka Okongwu hasn't made that leap also. So in my opinion, this team needs to just get blown the fuck up, and we need to do some deep work inside. And that starts with our front office. Serious dysfunction causes dysfunction to spread and leak everywhere. It's like a bad pipe in the house. We just have terrible infrastructure.
Dang.
Tough. This team has lost 5 straight games. Coincidentally, Jalen Johnson has been out for, I think, 8 games. They fell off a cliff as soon as he went out. We talked about it in previous episodes. He has been the one silver lining of this season for the Atlanta Hawks. He's emerging as a truly high-level starter, a guy we could imagine potentially moving towards being a low-level all-star one day. Two-way player, a highly efficient scorer, one of their only good positive defenders, has legit rim protection skills. Basically, everything they suck at, he's good at. Now he's gone. So the one guy who could do these things well in this team from the forward position is no longer there, and they fell off a cliff as expected. Like, it's tough. I don't know what the answer is for them. Maybe he just blew it up like you said.
And even when he was here, we were still like mid as hell. You know what I'm saying? We were still like 5-5, 6-8 type shit. You know what I'm saying? But we were like, we were at least like in the hunt of just being mid. Now we're just fucking bad, straight up ass.
Keep going. That's good. Keep going. No, I love hearing this. Keep going.
Shut up. I'm gonna sit back. Keep going. Now I'm not talking.
Keep going.
God, I hate this.
Let's talk about the Knicks.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't got nothing to say about the Knicks. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But not pile it on the Hawks. They're trash. And he's blowing. So, okay. So from the jump, I've said it every time we talk about the Hawks. I've never once for a second believed in the DeJounte Murray trade. Time of making the trade, I was like, why would this be your all-in move to get a point guard to pair your point guard? I think it's fucking dumb. Especially a point guard that isn't a particularly good shooter. Now, he's gotten better. He has good shooting stats. So he's not like a non-shooter to that degree. But we know there's a difference between guys who can make threes and have a good percentage versus guys that actually space the floor, can come off screens, be a really effective spot-up shooter that people aren't going to help off of, come off dribble handoffs and pull up from pick and roll, all the sorts. Things that we know Trae Young is good at. He needs a guy next to him that can, at the very least, also be a shooter that has impact to, you know, be able to facilitate Trae Young's playmaking skills. Never was DeJounte Murray, never has been. I think that it's not his fault they suck, but it's his fault because that's the one all-in move they made to be not trash, and he doesn't elevate them like you'd have to be to warrant that type of draft picks given up.
Yeah, exactly. And what makes the situation even more sick, again... DeJounte Murray has been as good as you could hope he could be, aside of like him not being able to finish shit because he's so frail, is that we are out of our 2026 pick. We have a 2027 pick swap and 2028. We don't have a pick. You know what I'm saying? So this is the only year that we have our pick until the next 3 years. We have no flexibility whatsoever. And so...
What was that?
I love
Nikhil.
Nikhil showed a YouTube video and he just had a crazy ad pop up that said calling all dad.
Yo. Nikhil, you know these ads are personalized to you.
I texted him earlier when he was trying to pull up some highlights. I said, get YouTube Premium. And it was for his own safety. Because I knew something like this was coming up. He's being exposed. Crazy.
Calling all dads. I don't know where that was.
He's
going.
A weeb with a child. That's crazy. No.
A weeb with a child. It's crazy.
Nikhil, feel free to jump on the mic and defend
yourself. Yeah, explain yourself.
What was that?
Let's hear it.
It's already in 4K. You're done for.
Done.
Yeah, it happens. That's to hilarious. The best of us, man. It happens to the best of us. But Donovan,
you're still here. Comment, Daddy Nikhil. God,
yeah, that's crazy.
He's so mad. That's he's so the comment right now.
Yeah, the way he got out of that so fast is hilarious.
Comment, Nikhil is my dad. We're still here. Nikhil.
I'm dead. Man. I'm dead. But
that's hilarious.
Okay,
quick question.
Mo, you're gonna ask a question.
Yeah, Donovan, what would you do to try to improve this team?
Find God.
Find God?
I mean, yeah. I think for them, you have to move off of DeJounte. And I know that you just gave him the extension, but clearly,
yeah,
like
team
Trae Young,
the extension too.
Yeah. And again, he's playing well, but this might be the best opportunity to trade him. His value might be at its peak right now, but Trae is obviously your franchise and you are going to want to keep him. Jalen Johnson's surgence this year, you're going to want to keep him. Whether or not you feel that Onyeka can take that eventual step, that's going to be the question, because if not, you can potentially move off of him to make another move, right? Maybe keep rolling with Clint Capella and just give up on that experiment, but you're going to have to find people who actively improve your defense, because what we've seen, and we talked about this last time with the Hawks, is that we've seen with Quinn Snyder led teams is that the defense is not necessarily going to be a priority. And a lot of that was covered up because you had Rudy Gobert in the back end manning everything. But if you're not going to have a three-time defensive player of the year doing that, everybody else, it's going to have to be a personal challenge for the other guys to play defense, because structurally they're just not going to be incentivized to do that. So DeJounte is going to have to get traded. Onyeka is going to have to get traded, and a lot of your top assets are going to have to start moving, and you're going to have to start getting that process of what is the next era of Hawks basketball look like.
Yeah.
They're cooked.
Which is tough.
They're stuck in mid.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they would need the perfect opportune star player to become available that would need a young point guard, could use a... Can this Hawks trade two draft picks or just one? Can they trade 2030 and 2024?
I don't think they could trade 2030 right. Well, they actually...
They can.
Yeah.
They can. So they could trade 2024. Oh, actually, no. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. They have their own 2024 pick, and then they had 2030. Two first-round picks, DeJounte Murray. If there's the perfect star available, that could get you somebody interesting. But I don't see that star walking through these doors. They don't want DeMar DeRozan. They don't want Zach LaVine. Maybe they'll get you an OG and an OB. Maybe they'll get you a Pascal Siakam. But at that point, I don't think those players are good enough to get rid of DeJounte for. So
you're kind of stuck.
Do you get rid of DeJounte for depth?
That is the only way at this point in time. Like, we need players. The back when we were at our best, we had just a lot of impactful players on our roster. John Collins was actually an impactful player back in 2021. And also in this current year, don't want to disrespect him or anything. But point is, players who left a real impact on the defensive end and could lock up when shit was important. Guys like a DeLon Wright. I miss his ass. You know what I'm saying?
You're down bad.
I know. We were talking about DeLon Wright. We've never said his name in the history of TD3. Every single video we made, out of 500 whatever videos or whatever it might be, we've never said his name. And I'm over here saying, I miss DeLon Wright. I'm in the trenches. Can we switch conversations, bro? Fuck.
Yeah, man. Listen, do the Nets want him for a Dorian Finney-Smith, Royce O'Neal package of role players?
I would do that personally. I like that actually. That wow. Frees DeJounte and get... Okay, listen. Listen.
8K proof right here. You don't know what you have until it's gone. That's what this is.
For audio listeners, we have a tweet pulled up from @mojo99_. Get DeLon Wright. These were typed in lowercase letters. Off my team, man. Typed in uppercase letters.
Listen. I did not know how good I had life back then at all.
I'm so sorry for all the DeLon Wrights.
That was 3 months. That was tweeted 3 months after the get DeLon Wright off my team tweet.
Yeah.
This is great.
Listen.
Yeah, man, the Hawks are down bad. And like, it just couldn't be me. Like, I couldn't imagine rooting for a team that didn't just win the in-season tournament. That isn't a top four team in the West come playoff time.
Next team.
That doesn't have two superstars. That doesn't have the sixth man of the year. That doesn't have 4'6"-8" wings that can defend.
We're just going to leave it at that. The Atlanta Hawks, and including me, we are in purgatory. This is the worst position to be as an NBA fan. A team that's supposed to be good, but you're genuinely ass, and you gave up picks to be good, and you're not. You're ass.
Couldn't be me. I'll say that.
God, bro. Okay.
Mo, I left my watch at home. Do you know what time it is?
Oh, shit. Plug just hit me. Folks, said it's TikTok time. Let's get this shit rolling. The crayon eaters in the streets, they need it. They need it.
I felt that shit in my chest. I knew you'd come through.
Oh, man.
Welcome to TikTok time. As always, we're going to begin with the draft. This time, we're going to do a lineup draft, making the biggest NBA lineups possible. 1 through 5, we're going to draft some massive motherfuckers, the tallest lineups possible.
This is crazy. Great.
Donovan's first pick, I'm second pick, Mo's third pick.
I got the perfect spot. Donovan, let's do it.
Where are we starting?
I have to go with... Listen, I could go two ways, but I want actual good players on my team, so give me Yao Ming at my center.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
You know what? You're going to go with height first. I'm going to go with girth. Give me Shaquille O'Neal in my center.
Damn. Okay.
That's good. Okay. That's good.
You want to talk about big? I'm large.
Okay.
You're doing a lot.
I like that. So to double up, speaking of large, just give me Zion Williamson. No one's getting through me. And then give me trade request Harden. Hey, trade request Harden's a different breed. We never seen nobody shapeshift like that before, ever.
That's a deep cut. You want to talk about large, you got it down. Next pick, Ooh. You know what? Give me the ultimate size mismatch. Give me Magic Johnson at point guard.
Okay.
You can't get bigger than that at the point guard.
Okay. Listen, I'm still going with height at my four. Give me the Frenchman. Give me Wemby at my four.
I wanted him so
bad. Damn, okay.
You know he was going to be on my team. You know that.
And you got 7'4 and 7'6.
Listen, and at my two guard, give me one of the most iconic big men ever, Glenn Big Baby Davis.
Two guard? Woo!
That's a two guard?
We getting nasty big baby. Here. I like
yes,
it.
Yes, sir.
Big Baby is a two guard.
Listen, baseline jumpers to death.
You know what? You picked Wemby. You got me on the height. I'm catching up as best as I can. Give me Kristaps Porzingis at the power forward.
Tingus Pingus? Okay.
Verticality.
Okay. Verticality, I like it. Tingus Pingus is a solid pick. All right. So for me, I think I need another lengthy dude in this bitch too.
Yeah, you don't
got to. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to move Zion to the four. Go ahead and give me Taco Fall at the five. I just need someone big. I need a tree down there because I stand no chance as we speak.
Okay. Taco Fall is a hilarious cut. Yeah,
give me Taco Fall. And then, you know what I could do now? Speaking of big, they call this man the round mound of rebound, apparently. Give me Charles Barkley at the fucking three.
You are taking your team's bigness a very different direction than I am.
Listen.
100%.
You guys need to take my team to a different direction.
Yeah, listen, you found a market and you're cornering it. I better see Raymond Felton. Never mind.
No, I had him on the list, but nah.
At the two, give me the biggest guy who's never wanted to be big a day in his life, but he can't help it. Kevin Durant at the two.
Ah, okay.
Wow. That's all right. Okay, we're going to hide there.
Dishonest 7-footer.
Dishonest 7-footer is hilarious. All right. At my three, give me the person that everybody says was Wemby before Wemby. Give me Bol Bol at my three.
Ooh.
And then at my one, I need somebody who can go up against Mo's team. Right, I need a big body at the one. Give me Kenny Lofton Jr.
Oh, your team is hard.
Let's go. I have a perfect mix of big and big.
Your team is a deep bag for no reason.
Your team is cooking.
I don't know what I'm doing, bro. Who is stopping Kenny Lofton full force? Full speed, Kenny Lofton? Sounds like a hospital.
Kill Magic. Back in the hospital.
Kenny Lofton, Yao Ming pick and rolls is insane.
Listen, I'm going for the tallest person I can possibly find, east position, while maintaining some realism. Give me another 7-footer, Lowry Markkanen.
Okay.
I got height.
Respect Lowry. You know,
you got height, but you have no serious weight on your team other than Shaq. You got one big boy.
It's a lot of weight.
I got four, soon to be five. You're going to be put in the hospital, in the ER. Go ahead and give me current day Mike Bibby. You guys ain't going through shit. I am bulletproof, man.
That's a
Are you
great
kidding
pick.
Me? Current day Mike Bibby. He is a Swole. Unit. I could have my entire team not only play basketball, but I could have them cook for me. I could have them be my security guards. I could have them do anything for me, and I'm straight for life.
You just drafted a bouncer as your point guard.
Facts.
These teams are hilarious.
Man. I feel I like we need six men. I feel like we can get bigger.
Mo, pick a six man.
Oh, man. Hold on. We want a six man? You want to get big? Give me Michael Sweeney, 350-pound big back baby Bubba. He is the unit. I need him on my team. I need him on my team. He's the one. He's the ultimate mismatch. You have Shaq. He ain't seen no Sweeney before in his life. There we go. He's a truck.
Look at Sweeney. I don't even know who that is.
Look him up. To your research, Big Bag Baby Bubba. That's what I call him.
Big Bag Baby Bubba. What is that? Nothing's popping up. I don't know who this man is.
You don't know who it is? Oh my God, are you crazy?
Who's Michael Sweeney? How do you spell this?
Hold on, let me send you, bro. Oh my God.
Who is that?
There you go.
Now, Mo has a squad. Mo has a squad. Bro.
He's a former New York Knick, averaged 3 points and 2.5 rebounds per game. Unit. At his peak playing, he was 2.348. He's a unit.
At my six man, I'm all team length this episode. Give me more length. Give me Sean Bradley.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's 7'4". That nice. That's length, right? That's length. 7'4". You clearly. Yeah. Listen, clearly have a style of basketball that you want to play, and I like that. All right. At my six man, give
me. You better
me,
pick who I think you're picking.
You don't know who I'm picking. I promise you that. At my sixth man, give me Bryant Big Country Reeves. This man was 7'2", 90. Unit. I need Big Country on my team.
Big Country.
That's a deep
oh my
for
goodness. Big Country?
Big it's Country.
Tough. It's tough.
I imagine you didn't pick Boban.
Oh, Boban. No. Nah. Man, Boban would have been hard. Boban would have been hard. If it was me, Donovan, I would have picked Simbular. I would have gone real nasty.
Well, it was between Big Country. It was between Big Country and Manute Bol to have the father son. But I just needed the Big Country nickname.
Manute Bol would have been
that's
tough,
hilarious. Too. So my team: Magic Johnson, Kevin Durant, Lauri Markkanen, Tingus Pingus, Shaq, and Sean Bradley.
Nice
length.
My team, I have Kenny Lofton Jr. at the one, Big Baby Davis at the two, Bol Bol at the three, Wemby at the four, Yao Ming at the five, Big Country, Bryant Reeves at the six man.
Okay.
Now, this is nice. Large.
That's tough. None of your team has a chance to get through my team and any figure of life that you can think of. I got current day Mike Bibby, trade request Harden, round mound of rebound Charles Barkley, Zion, Taco Fall, and Big Back Baby Bubba Michael Sweetie. We moving out here.
Big
this
back
is the most
baby.
Unhinged draft I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think honestly, Donovan might have the most well-rounded team. You have a bunch of sticks.
Bro, I have Big Baby at the two. Like, listen.
You have Big Baby at the two, but you also have Bol Bol and Yao Ming. Who got range?
Big Baby at the two. Listen, on defense, we're running a zone, and Bol Bol, Wemby, and Yao Ming, they're just going to hold hands around the three-point line.
Y'all playing a different type of defense. Innovative. I like it.
I'm crying. I got Big Baby at the two. And shit well around. He's just rounded.
Scammer. Scammer of the year.
Oh my God.
That's hilarious.
I thought we were drafting good. Like real teams.
This is a real
this
team.
This is never going to happen. This man got the Spice Adams shorts on.
I can't believe he's wearing the same shorts I'm wearing right now.
And he's fucking 6'7". Good God.
Oh nah, my God.
6'7" wearing 5-inch seam shorts is ridiculous.
He thinks he's Drewski. We should have dropped the Drewski.
Oh shit.
That's good.
All right, time out. Next video. We're getting crazy. Next thing we're gonna do, I don't even know where to take it from here. I'm fucking trying to recover. Mo, you want to say, Mo, say your team for the audio listeners real quick before we move on.
Oh yeah, again, for the audio listeners, my team is current day Mike Bibby, trade request Harden, Charles Barkley, mound round and rebound, of course. At the four, Zion Williamson, five, Taco Fall, and sixth man is Michael Sweetney, aka Big Back Baby Bubba.
Love it. All right, next thing we're gonna do, man, let's just keep it on funny mode. Let's keep the laughs rolling. Next thing we're gonna do, We're going to look at some NBA moments, and we're going to decide from 1 to 10 how funny it was.
Okay. The NBA legit is like the funniest league in the world. There's just something stupid happening every night.
Well, this is Mo's host. Well, why don't you show us these moments?
It's going to be a classic, man. Rate how funny these NBA moments are from a scale of 1 to 10. All right, so number one is Kyrie flicking off Boston Celtics fans during his return.
I don't even think I've ever seen this, actually. This is amazing.
Really? You never seen this?
I think I missed this.
This was the day he stepped on Lucky.
This was great. This was hilarious.
Lucky.
All the Boston fans and everything that they always say, this was fantastic. And to do it so discreetly and just like, I'm stretching. gotta get ready for the inbounds. No, this is great. I give this like an 8.
It's not.
Yeah, I'll give it a good 8.
Yeah.
The best part is they deserve it. You know, this is given to a group of people that 100% deserve whatever they got. There's no doubt in my mind. These Boston Celtics fans deserve both middle fingers.
Yeah, exactly. this wasn't even that discreet. Kyrie was on one since he woke up, bro. He was running around the arena that day. He was spreading incense around everywhere, bro. Sagen. Stomped on Lucky. He was ready for this. He knew exactly what he wanted to do.
Nah, he chose chaos that morning.
Eight it is. What's next? Next up, we got the time the Denver Nuggets mascot passed out midair during this moment, bro. They brought him down. Security had to check on his ass. He was gone.
This is funny for a couple reasons. One, this has to be in the job description that you can handle stuff like this, right? They asked you about this in the interview and you lied to their face that you cannot handle this. Two, the kids in the crowd had to be so scared. And like, Rocky died. He's dead.
Bro, Buddy Lipton, a motherfucker. If I'm a kid, I'm thinking, did I just witness a public lynching? Like, what's going on here? Did I just witness a man get hanged? Good God.
I can't believe you took it there.
It looks like it. Hanging from the top. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is just crazy. I would be mortified if I was a child there. This is a 7. As a kid, I'd be horrified. As an adult, I'm crying laughing at all the kids that are scared. I don't care.
This was my favorite mascot.
I would have to cover my kids' eyes and just be like, yo, don't look. Don't look.
And I'm doing it. I'm covering it up. And I'm like.
You're fucked.
We got a 7.
7, okay, cool. What do you rate this, Donovan?
I'll go 8. These are all very funny.
This has got to be a 10 to me, man. What's next? Next up, we got Draymond Green slapping the shit out of Yusuf Nurkic.
You know, this would be funny, but I'm at the point, this man is just a serial assaulter. I'm just like sick of it. It's not funny anymore. It's irritating. He deserved that suspension 100%.
Listen, I think in the moment last night, it was annoying. 24 hours later, I'm crying. This is hilarious. He literally just can't stop himself from assaulting somebody. He just got home. He just got off of parole. And he's a repeat offender.
He has an addiction to mollywhopping.
He sees a face, a punchable face, and his hand just starts talking to him like the Green Goblin. Like, you know you want to do it. You know you want to slap him. Like, he can't help it.
The best part is, you're right, because all Nurkic did was slightly tug his jersey in the post, and he was like, nope, helicopter mode.
Warrants a fucking mollywop to the face. He's crazy. Snaps.
He has no self-control. I cannot believe the lengths that he will go to put his hands on somebody. This is a 10.
He is the CEO of crashing out. This is what he does.
Add this to the highlight reel.
It's a 10. It's a 10, bro. What do you think this is, Isaac?
Absolute 10. Clean sweep.
Perfect. Glad we're on the same page. What's next? Next up, Michael Beasley rubbing Anthony Tolliver's knee.
Ted, I've never seen a look of pure shock the way Anthony Tolliver was when he realized what the fuck was going on. He took a second to be like, am I imagining it? This motherfucker touching my knee.
How long do you have to rub somebody else's knee before you realize, hey, I don't feel anything? Like, before you start getting nervous, it's like, is everything okay? Like, I don't feel my knee at all.
The only logic behind that. Am I paralyzed?
No thoughts upstairs, just vibes.
Bro, he was high as a bitch that day. That's the only logic behind this. Everything just feels a little bit slower. So it makes sense.
Absolute 10.
Yeah, this is a 10. What's next? All right. The time when Rudy Gobert touched everything in caused COVID the next day.
Man, this is not funny. This man spread COVID to the whole NBA. We can't.
He shut down the world.
Oh my
God. No, this is hilarious. I don't care. Know what's funny about this? He thought he was hilarious. This isn't just like bad, immoral. It's a bomb joke. There's nothing funnier than someone making a joke that doesn't land and he thinks he's the funniest one in the room.
Next thing you know, he almost killed Donovan Mitchell.
Facts, bro.
I know. Donovan Mitchell was ready to kill him over it, too. It ruined his relationship with Donovan Mitchell. It led to Donovan Mitchell requesting a trade. This is hysterical.
It was already bad. Said, as soon as I finish this chicken noodle soup,
as soon as I get healthy again, I'm coming for you, Rudy.
Donovan Mitchell was drinking Gatorade for 3 days, just pissed, ready to kill this Frenchman.
I give it a 3.
Easy 10. No, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10?
Yep. All right.
Okay, I agree. Staple it.
Is that the last one?
Yeah.
We're good. That's hilarious, man. I love that we got both the funny ones out the way immediately. Set the energy off right. Hope you're all enjoying this TikTok time. If you are, do us a favor. Drop a like and subscribe on this video if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on audio platforms, leave us 5-star, drop a review. Let's keep this shit going. We're going to transition to some basketball talk. We're going to go do a tier list now. And it's going to be a tier list of every version of the Los Angeles Lakers over the years. So there's championship teams, teams that got put together to try and win a championship and flopped, middle of the road teams, just every version of Lakers I could think of that were interesting to talk about. We're going to tier list them.
So here we go with that Lakers elitist stuff.
Can't stand. Listen, they get the clicks. People like looking at them. So real simple, let's put every version of the Los Angeles Lakers into a tier list. First off, the 2001 Lakers.
This is S. This is an S tier version of the Lakers. 100%.
This is an S tier version of anybody.
Yeah, this is through the three-peat. There's no reason to put them below an S.
They lost one game, all playoffs. Yeah, this is S tier.
Probably the best Lakers team in history. So it's a no-brainer to go to S tier.
Wow, in history, it's a big statement.
Yeah. We'll get to some more options. We'll see if you can refute that. Next up, the 2020 Lakers.
This is a solid A or B tier. I'll probably comfortably say B tier, though.
Nah. Yeah, it's A tier for a lot of teams, but the Lakers have a lot of heavy hitting teams, so maybe B tier for their standards.
I understand that, but given everything that was going on in 2020, the fact that they overcame the pandemic, they were hooping in the bubble, they overcame the loss of Kobe, like, sentimentally, this feels like a very big Lakers team, so I have to put an A.
Okay.
Damn, they defeated grief and the coronavirus in 1 year. Give it to them, A, you're right.
Grief and the coronavirus.
That's basically a three-peat if you think about it.
Okay. Not too much.
The 2004 Lakers.
Oh, okay. So they did make the finals, but they lost in embarrassing fashion and were a disappointment.
Deeply disappointing team. They're supposed to be better than the three-peat teams. They added 2 washed-up superstars, but still good quality role players. Expectation was championship or bust. This can't be up higher than B.
No, I would say C.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's tough.
Low-key D. I don't know, for their standards.
Initially, I was thinking D. Because
D for disappointment. You're cooking.
Yeah, exactly. D only makes sense when you have such an illustrious franchise like the Lakers do.
Exactly. It's championship or bust almost every year. This was a bust. Next up, 1985, peak of Showtime.
Put this in S.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than 2020, right?
Yeah, it can't be in the same tier as 2020.
Why not?
We should only put 2020 back into B.
Okay, can this team, can peak Showtime be in the same caliber as 2001?
Absolutely, I think so. If 2020 is A, they have to be in S tier along with 2001.
I think they just have to be A tier, though.
I think. Well, then we got to move 2020 to B, I think.
2020 belongs in B. That's fair.
Why?
They're not Showtime, man. It's peak Showtime. They beat the Larry Bird Celtics in this year.
I understand.
Bro.
I don't know.
NBA history we're talking about here.
The fact that the Lakers, like Isaac said, they beat grief and the coronavirus. I think that they have to be A.
Okay, then Showtime's S.
No, there's other versions of Showtime that are S.
Okay, well, Mo, do you agree 2020 down to B?
2020 definitely should be to B. Donovan, just the other day I heard you saying this was a Mickey Mouse ring. Make up your mind.
Pick a side.
Listen, I'm trying to do stuff for clicks right now. All right.
Okay, we'll put that right, down fine, to B. And we'll keep Showtime in A.
We'll go B.
There we go.
That's fair.
Next up, the 2018 Lakers. Young rebuild.
F.
Ooh.
This is
a mean F tier.
Lonzo Ball doesn't move you?
F for fun. they were a fun team, right? But they sucked. So we're going to put them in F.
F it is. Can't argue.
Trash.
Next up, 1972, when they won with Wilt.
Who?
Ooh.
What, B tier?
Can we put them in A? What, B?
Well, you lost for like 8 years in a row. It's about time you won a championship.
It's a math game at that point. You're bound to get one eventually.
It's just a numbers game at that point. Put them in B.
Yeah, we can go B.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not on the sheer level of dominance of Showtime of winning multiple championships in the era. They had to win one. There was like four relevant teams in the league that year.
Exactly.
Damn, stop so being Mickey a Mouse tier. Mickey Mouse ring tier, is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Next up, 2011.
Oh, 2011.
When they failed with Dwight Howard.
Yeah, this has to be nasty.
This has to be an F tier.
Nah, it can't be F. Nah, they were not as bad as they were.
No,
not
it has
as
to be F.
It has to
can't
be F.
It has to be F. D is an all-time failure for them, but they still made the finals. This team got bounced in the first round.
This gotta team, be F tier. This team forced Kobe Bryant to tear his Achilles because they were that bad, and he had to play too much. No, it's F.
Bro, remember that Sports Illustrated cover when they traded for Steve Nash and Dwight Howard? People thought they were going to win four chips in a row. That was supposed to be the team. Absolute failure.
Well, considering the context, that is true. They were the next super team.
Yeah, they're supposed to compete with the Heels. They didn't compete with anything. They competed with the Bobcats. Next up, the 2006 Lakers when Kobe was on his own.
Oh,
dang, listen, it's a lot of F.
Kobe was a demon.
It's a lot of F in here. If you're not winning, if you are not in the finals, you are an F for the Lakers. That's just the standard. I don't make the rules up.
Yeah, fair enough. The year Kobe had alone moves me like a bitch.
Can we go D with them?
Personally, no. Put him in B. I mean, D, my bad.
Fam, they
can't go D, just repeat Kobe?
They had Smush Parker and lost in the first round.
I cannot say those words. That's just a tongue twister. We cannot put Smush Parker above F tier.
He has to be there. That's where he belongs.
All right, let's put him in F.
All right, next up, we got two more. The 2009 Lakers, the championship with Powell, the first one.
Oh, this is
now this is so nostalgic. A B tier championship.
Is that ring. That seems magic. Worse than that's the that magic. Seems worse than the 2020.
Yes.
Can they be C tier? There's no C tier right now. Could they be?
I don't think
you said championship or bust. So every team that's not in the finals is F tier. I feel like C should be the lower tier championship teams. If D is losing the finals, F is not make the finals. C is win the finals, but be less impressive than every other version.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. We can put him in C. If this is the
keep me out of this, I don't want to put him in B. Nostalgia is kicking my ass right now.
Now you were 10 years old, hype. I don't know. You remember it fondly.
Hell yeah. I was living a bitch. I was like, this is why he's the GOAT. 4 rings. Or 5. Yeah. There we go. 5 rings. Sorry,
bubble AD moves me more than Pau Gasol. I know everybody hates it when I say that on TikToks, but it's true.
You don't know ball.
Comments are my facts. Most right. Exactly. You're pandering to the fans. Next up, last but not least, this year, 2023 Lakers.
D.
We got to put him. We got to put him.
Russell's your starting point.
They have a championship. They have an in-season tournament title. If you have a title,
gross. Like,
I'm sorry. A banner is gonna hang because of this year's team. So
logic's logic. It checks out.
I'm just trying to be consistent.
Put this team above Shaq and Kobe. Put this team above everybody else below them. C tier. I love it. Gary Payton, eat your heart out.
Okay.
Love it. This is the tier list. S tier, we got 01. A tier, we got 85. B tier, 2020, 1972. C tier, 2009. And this year, D tier, 04. And the bottom feeder's an F. I think we did a good job.
I like
this. It's okay.
I'm proud.
It's all right.
We did good. Hater.
You know it.
All right, man. That concludes that. Next thing we're going to do, something we haven't done in a few weeks, another old versus new, a staple of TD3 TikTok time.
Fighting against nostalgia.
Exactly. This time we're going to throw back to the original topic that started old versus new, NBA logos. So, you know how it goes. I'm going to show you two NBA logos, one old, one new. You tell me which one was better. First off, the Toronto Raptors.
Come on now.
The old sweeps. And it's not even close. The Raptors new logo.
Keep in mind.
It's good still.
Keep in mind, it's not the jersey. It's just the logo. Separate the iconic jersey. Is the logo itself better?
Separated or not, the logo itself is still better. The color scheme is impeccable. And plus, you have the fucking purple. Raptor. Yeah. It's hard.
We got a little claw on a ball. We got a little.
No, listen. The basketball, in the middle, and just the words around it. That's lazy. That's modern.
It is generic.
No, we need give me some character, right? Give me some personality in your logo. That's what the old one has. So I'm going.
Yeah,
I'm
and
going
the purple is strong. They definitely need to bring purple back at some point.
Yeah, it's a staple. I don't know why they went away from it.
I don't know. Anyway, old sweeps. Next up, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Old sweeps again, goddammit. That wolf.
Really?
Yeah, the new wolf just seems so... He don't feel like a wolf. He feels like a chihuahua. He's not even howling.
Chihuahua.
Yeah, he's not even howling at all. The old logo, though, that moves me. That reminds me of KG. Like that just reminds me of some... Ah! Can't even describe it. It's hard.
just okay, ferocity. Man,
you are passionate about this logo.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
I like
just
it.
Ferocity.
Yeah. It's staring me dead in the eyes. It makes you feel something. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
You feel something a lot more impactful than I feel, but I'll give it to you.
Listen, if you are just rolling with just the basketball in the middle, I think you're kind of boring. I think you're leaning on a crutch and you're not being as creative as you actually can. So I'm going with the old one.
The trees is a nice touch. That's definitely more unique than the basketball, so I understand that.
Absolutely.
Old sweeps again. Next up, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay, this is a little closer.
This is a middle.
I could also lean either way.
They've never had good logos.
Yeah. The netted V is actually kind of cool, but other than that, this logo has no character.
That 90s logo sucks. I'm not going to lie to you.
It doesn't suck.
I've been siding with nostalgia thus far. That shit sucks.
It's like
the only redeeming quality is the orange is nice.
But we're just putting a C.
Yeah. It's just a simple C. That's it.
It's a pointy C. It looks like a hook or a sword from a cavalier.
What is a cavalier? I don't know what that is.
It's like a sword fighter or like an explorer.
that's whack.
Some dude with a blade. I don't know.
These are both kind of ass now I'm thinking about
Listen, for the first time in old versus new history, both L's. They both Nobody wins.
I agree.
That's hilarious. We're fence sitters over here. Trash on trash. Let's move on. The Chicago Bulls.
Nice.
I love this. They know who Where they are, going? And they stick to their roots.
This, I'm not going to lie to you. This new one is trash. Give me the old.
Really? I think the complete opposite. The bowl looks ugly as fuck in the old and the new one.
You're going old?
Yeah.
You fucking love nostalgia. You'll pick anything from your childhood.
Oh, that's funny.
Bozo. Next one. The Utah Jazz.
You know we hate the whole new era of Utah Jazz colors. We hate the whole new era of the Jazz's colors, jerseys, logos, all of it. The old one sweeps, clears, dominates it, every adjective possible.
What's even the redeeming quality of this new one? It's horrendous. I don't even know. I can't even fathom the words to explain how basic and boring and uninventorous this is. When you put them side by side like this, it's honestly offensive to Jazz fans.
I'm going to say it. The new one is not that bad.
Oh, go to hell.
Boo.
Go to hell. It's just black. It's like they don't even have the Jazz colors.
I feel like this feels like an incompleted Disney Channel logo. Like, you know how they used to have the one just like, this is Disney. Do. Yeah, this just feels like a very lazy duplicate of that. So I'm definitely going to go new for sure. Or old for sure.
I was going to say what?
Thank you.
Yeah, old right too. It's not even close. Old but it's not that bad.
The Jazz have one of the best 90s logos out there. This was not even a thought for me.
100%.
It's historic.
All right, next up, we have the Houston Rockets.
Okay, now this one's tough because if you put the new logo versus the one in the middle, this actually is an upgrade. But they're both kind of like mid. I like the colors on the old one, so I'm going to just go with that one.
The colors on the old one are definitely dope. The general style of the new one is just very plain. It's just like, bruh, another basketball gray in the middle. What is we doing?
Are the colors better on the old one?
Yeah.
Those Ronald McDonald ass colors. I kind of like black and red. It works.
It works, but it could have been done so much better. You have black and red, and this is what you do? Waste of potential.
That's also.
This isn't the best Rockets logo we're going against. This one's kind of plain too.
But it's the font of the Rockets is on the old one is better than the font on the new one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
I disagree. Maybe this is mid all around. I guess. I hate both of them now. Now that you point out the font, this is ass.
I'm going new one.
I'm going.
But I'm still going old.
All right. Next one. The 76ers.
The Syracuse Nationals. Was this a baseball team? Ew.
This definitely looks like a single-A baseball team from the 60s.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, they lost. They lost.
Yeah.
Even, you know, they don't even if stand it comes a from the 50s or the 60s, you know what we do on this pod.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shout out to the 1950s. Exactly. This is from 1950 exactly.
Exactly. The new one wins. The rest is to give it.
Yeah, this, first, this old logo is from before they invented spray cheese. I'm not picking this shit.
I didn't know you were a fan of spray cheese like that. To where it's a marker of history. Say pre-spray, post-spray.
He is a man.
This Industrial Revolution has a logo. No, thank you. Looks like they're playing in a cornfield. Give me the new one easily.
Yeah, the new sweeps.
All right, that's the end of that video. Next thing we got, I'm going to transition a little bit, and I'm going to quiz you guys on your NBA knowledge. See how many facts you can memorize. And specifically, we're going to talk about how many championships these NBA franchises have won.
Okay. Let's get going. I'm trying to get this tribute back.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to name two NBA franchises, and you guys tell me who has won more championships.
Let's do it. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. First matchup. The Golden State Warriors or the Chicago Bulls?
Ding, 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 ding. I want to buzz in. Listen. Wait, also, are Mo and I competing against each other?
Yes.
Okay, bet. Okay, cool. So the Chicago Bulls have 6 and the Golden State Warriors have 5. So I'm going with the Chicago Bulls.
Mo, is that your answer?
Yeah, that was going to be my answer too.
Neither one of y'all know shit. The Golden State Warriors have 7.
Ah!
How do they have 7?
Oh, you're so confidently wrong.
They got the Philadelphia ones, right?
Those don't count, god damn it. But I guess they do in the context of this TikTok. Shit!
L.
Damn. 0-0.
Next matchup. You're 0 for 1. The Pistons or the Miami Heat?
All right, let me go first. So we did witness the Miami Heat win one with Shaq and D-Wade, of course. And then they won 2 more with LeBron.
Donovan buzzing, I see.
I'm buzzing in.
No. With that being said,
I'm buzzing in first. Buzzing in first.
Go ahead.
This is a tie. They both have 3.
I have no idea how much the Pistons have, bro. I'm going Miami. Just know that. They've won like 5 games in 2 years. I'm going Miami. Just off of recency bias alone.
Listen, when in doubt, side with Pat Riley. But this time, Donovan is correct. It is a clean tie.
Ew. That's so shameful.
Yes, sir.
Miami, what are you doing? Poor company.
Get on it, man. All right, next matchup. The San Antonio Spurs or the Philadelphia 76ers?
Oh, now this, you would assume it's tough, but definitely I'm going with the Philadelphia 76ers.
It's a very old team.
Yeah, old. I agree. They've been around for a minute.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with the San Antonio Spurs.
Why?
Because Mo picked the Sixers and I need a point. So give me the San Antonio Spurs.
Terrible reasoning. But you're correct. The San Antonio Spurs have 5 and the 76ers have 3.
Ha! What the fuck? Now I'm shook.
Will he ever get a point? Who knows?
Tune in.
Next up, we got the Los Angeles Lakers versus the Boston Celtics.
Oh yeah, this is easy. This is the Los Angeles Lakers.
That was very quick. I was very confident.
Yeah, they just want to chip in 2020.
True.
It's neck and neck. I believe it's 7-18.
I'm buzzing in. I think this is a tie. I think they're tied right now.
Really?
Yes, because I think they're tied because I remember. I'm probably just lying to myself. I'm just going to guess it's a tie, and that's my answer.
Once again, bad logic, but you're correct. This is a tie at 17.
What? Oh my God, bro. I thought it was 17-18. My calculations is wrong.
You were counting the in-season tournament. You're already hanging another banner.
That should have counted. What the hell? I got
that
cheated.
That is not a Larry O'Brien trophy.
It's close enough. Fuck that. Actually, it's even better.
There's only one in existence. Exclusivity means it's more valuable.
Counts as like 5 Larry OBs to me, man.
All right, man. Next up, the Knicks versus the Cavaliers. 2 old franchises.
Now we're in the trenches.
Okay. I'm buzzing in right here. This actually isn't that hard. The Cavs only have 1 title. That's LeBron's. Oh, wait. No.
They don't have one.
Oh.
They won another one like 55 or whatever years ago.
The Knicks have 2. What am I going to do?
I'm going to go ahead and say it. For the first time in history, I'm going to go ahead and side with the New York Knicks.
I'm siding with the Knicks as well.
Ah, correct. 2-1, the Knicks win.
I should have kept my mouth shut. God damn it. Let him go. Fuck.
And because we tied, nobody gets a point, so Mo still has no points.
Nah.
I'm sorry, that's just how it works.
I should get an extra 2 because you hopped on my back. I can't.
Double or nothing. All right, next one. The Thunder versus the Bucks.
Seattle. Somebody talk.
Okay, I know.
Did they do shit?
I had to think out loud. We're counting the whole franchise though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you have to think back to the Supersonics.
But even then, I'm buzzing in. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Bucks.
Donovan? I mean, Mo?
Yeah, Oh, man, that's crazy. You know what? You took a point from me, bitch. I'm taking one from you. Give me the Bucks as well.
Correct. The Bucks have two to the Thunder's one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see the gamesmanship. I like it.
All right. That's the end of that. Y'all know trivia a little bit. I get it real easy. Next week, we'll up the ante and do harder trivia. Nice. I want to keep it entry level for this week.
Nice.
Last thing we got. This is going to be a fun one. We've been talking a lot lately about the best players in franchise histories for different teams. Now we're going to transition a little bit, and we're going to talk about current players and it, whether or not they have the opportunity to become the franchise's GOAT by the end of their career.
Projection. Okay.
Yeah, like, would y'all expect that to be the case?
Let's do okay. it.
So, can this NBA player be their franchise's GOAT at the end of their career? First off, Luka Doncic.
In order to be the franchise's GOAT, this man has to win a ring. MVPs, I'm assuming we all agree he'll do that sometime throughout his career. But winning that ring is going to be tough when you have the Dallas Mavericks front office
yep.
in front of you.
Listen, that 2011 ring is a tough hill to overcome. But also, he might just have like 12 first-team All-NBAs by the time he's 32. So I'll be shocked if he doesn't become the franchise's GOAT, honestly.
He should be. He has to win a ring or else he's not the GOAT. That's just simple play. Also, Dirk played like 2 decades with the Mavericks.
Yeah, true.
Said if he dips out early, Dirk's their guy. And they can always lean back and be like, he was the one.
Yeah, nobody stays around that long anymore. And he doesn't even have like a championship nucleus that we can see him contending with for the next decade. Low-key, I think it's probably pretty likely he leaves. I'm going to go no, actually. He can't be the GOAT because he's going to leave.
I'm going to say no.
Damn. I guess I'm going to go against y'all, actually. I'm going to say yes.
He's going to be the Knicks GOAT when he requests a trade in a couple of years.
That would be insane.
I am moved.
All right, next up, Joel Embiid.
No.
Hell nah. Hell no. Nah.
Instantly? Hell no. Nah.
If he Hell was to be nah. the GOAT, he would literally Hell have to win nah. his championship this year, next year, and the year after that, along with a couple of MVPs.
Hell no. Nah.
Nothing?
Dr. J has two chips. Dr. J has two chips. He has MVPs of his own. Joel Embiid got to start racking up some rings.
And he's not going to do it.
With Tobias Harris as your third best player? I'm sorry, not in the year 2023.
So is he better than AI? Is he a better Sixer than AI?
I mean.
Yeah, person.
Hard to have that conversation with the nostalgia factor, so I'll leave that for another day.
Regular season player for sure. Playoffs? I don't know.
Listen, they both got one MVP. Who's to say for sure?
Yeah.
This man hates
that. Next up.
Yeah.
Next up, Trae Young.
No, just off of this picture.
What?
Just this is a horrible picture.
Why does he look like this?
What's wrong with this picture? He's just a regular light-skinned mixed man.
Nah. No, but I don't think so.
The only one in his way
3 years ago, maybe I would have said, okay, he's on the trajectory. I'm way past thinking Trae Young is going to be like some superstar.
Well, I'm not. I don't think it's hard to surpass someone like Dominique Wilkins with how talented he is. Now he has less time on his hands. He's 25 years old now, and he's only went to the conference finals once, which is still impressive. But he has a chance. I'll say he has a chance, though. Hawks has got to get his act together. Get there.
Fam, they expanded the playoffs, and he's about to miss the play-in. No, he's not going to be the GOAT.
Look, you said that last year. He ain't going to miss it this year again. Relax.
Congratulations on the 10th seed. He's going to earn it.
Listen, they're out the plane right now. You guys are 11th.
Listen, this TikTok Tough. From the age like want like milk. They're going to be in the plane. Relax.
Okay.
We have another one. All right, next one. Devin Booker.
Maybe.
Better than Steve Nash? Shit, I'm with it.
Oh, yeah. That's
Charles Barkley?
I forgot about Steve Nash. Yeah, he has to win MVPs. Yeah. At least one. At least one.
He's already made a finals. What if he makes another finals?
I don't know. That's tough. That is tough.
He's going to have more postseason success than Steve Nash. I think that's pretty safe.
For sure.
He'll be there for longer. Does it have to be MVPs or bust?
I think he has to get one.
Really?
Well, okay. Actually, no. Okay. You are right. If he gets to another finals, then I think we can kind of like dip off
level up the playing field.
Yeah. Because Steve Nash, they were never able to get over the hump. So
yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't see him rattling off MVPs in the future with the guys that are currently in the league ahead of him. So it would have to be playoff success. I'll say it's possible, but I'm not going to bet on it.
Yeah, he'll have to do some insane shit. Not insane shit, but he'll have to do some real wizardry with that roster. Bradley Beal's back gotta be on. He has to put Bradley Beal's back in. He has to put vibranium into Bradley Beal's back in order to get that shit straight. But I don't see that happening.
Okay, next one, De'Aaron Fox.
Who is their franchise goat?
It doesn't take a lot to be the Kings' goat. So.
It doesn't take shit, bro.
Listen, low-key, he already might be the Kings' goat.
Oh, God.
Nah, I mean, listen, he's going to have to win a playoff series in order to do that.
That's the bar.
He ended a 16-17-year drought. What do you expect?
Listen, win a playoff series, maybe get to the conference finals. We'll see what happens.
Hey, maybe get a single triple-double. Maybe score 25 points twice in a row. That'll do it for the Kings.
Y'all are insane.
That's kind of
get a bar. I'm gonna say yeah,
but it's real.
Yeah, it's, yeah, he definitely does.
Yeah, I'll say that yes, he can be the Kings' goat if he brings them success that they haven't seen in like decades.
Yeah,
a singular conference finals appearance, he can make that happen.
I don't know if he can, but anyways, next up, Ja Morant.
I'm gonna say, I mean, yeah. Listen,
that's completely up to him whether or not he wants to be the Grizzlies' goat.
He can either be the Grizzlies' goat or he. Never mind. No.
Let's relax.
Yeah.
He's listen, all the talent in the world. That's not the issue.
He only has Z-Bo, Tony Allen, and Marc Gasol in his way. Let's be real for a second.
He could be Tony Allen in there.
He's Tony Allen over Mike Conley. All I know is that he needs to at least play games for him to be the team's goat. So we will see what happens down the line.
It's very doable.
I'm going to say yes, he definitely can. Will he? TBD. He can either go. let me stop myself again. These are played out jokes.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, I think Ja definitely has the talent to eventually be this team's goat.
He's already the most talented player in that franchise's history. So there's a clear path.
Very fair.
How dare you say that over Shane Battier?
Shane Battier, bald ass. Nah, I'm good.
All right, last one. Zion Williamson.
Who is this team's goat?
No.
CP3? No. Surpassing him? Or Ant? Anthony Davis? Nah.
Ooh. He doesn't have it. I'm out.
You're out?
I'm out. He will not be the Pelicans' goat. You want to talk about low bars. Okay, never mind.
All these unhinged jokes ready to come out. I mean, again, it's like Ja. He certainly has the talent to. Does he want it bad enough? Does he have a desire to be the Pelicans' goat? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
He won't.
Man.
He ain't got it.
He's in year 5 now, and we still have serious questions about him. This should not be happening.
Yeah, that conversation's over. The only question is he going to be a multiple-time All-Star? And that's it. But as for a team goat, that's not the question.
I don't want to take it out the question because the bar is so low still. But
CP3 is a bar. That's a pretty high bar. It's CP3.
Yeah, but he didn't do shit for that organization for real in the playoffs. So it's like, how high can the bar be? It's not that high at all.
CP3 carried them through Katrina. What is Zion carrying them through?
Shit. Complete and utter embarrassment. He's there at least. He's trying, goddammit.
Is he trying? They just got beat by 44 points. He's not trying.
And he turned around and he dropped 36.
We don't care about that.
He lost an ISP. This is how we're in the story.
We don't care about that.
His career is already tainted by that. You're right.
All right, man. That's the last one. And that's the end of the show. What should people comment the show here?
Oh, man. Why is Nikhil laughing? He knows what they should comment.
Nikhil, what should they comment? You can decide twice in a row.
They should comment Draymond is the GOAT.
Okay. Let's.
He's escaping.
You can comment that if you'd like. This is the end of the show. We'll see y'all later.
All right.